bringing Christ to the world through the media.
Listener supported.
Here for you every day.
Welcome to the Relevant Radio Spring Pledge Drive. Give hope.
It's Wednesday, May 4th. Good morning and welcome back to hour number two of Morning Air. I'm John Morales along with Glenn Leverins. Thanks so much for joining us across America on the Relevant Radio Network and the Relevant Radio app. It's good to be with you as we continue with this day three of our Relevant Radio Give Hope Spring Pledge Drive. Once again, I just want to say thank you for all your support these last few days. Thanks so much for yesterday. Thanks for this first hour. I really do appreciate it. At noon today, we're going to be at the midway point of the pledge drive, but we still have a ways to go to reach our $3 million goal, our need by Friday at 5 p.m. Central. But I have great faith in you, our Morning Air listeners, our Relevant Radio listeners. You've always come through when it counts, and we need your help this morning to set the tone for the rest of the day. Please open your heart and give hope in honor of our Blessed Mother Mary here in the month of Mary. We're looking for 100 gifts this hour at relevantradio.com or the Relevant Radio app, or, of course, you can call us at 877-291-0123. This is Wednesday. We still got some time, but we need your help this morning. Once again, on Wednesdays, I always remind you to pray to St. Joseph. He's a powerful intercessor. Go to Joseph, the patron of the Universal Church. We always begin in prayer every hour, and especially during the Pledge Drive week with the Memorare, invoking the intercession of the Mother of God, our Blessed Mother Mary, to help us not only with this pledge drive, but now more than ever for an end to legal abortion in our nation. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to thy protection, implored thy help, or sought thy intercession was left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, I fly unto thee, O Virgin of Virgins, my Mother. To thee I come, before thee I stand, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother of the Word Incarnate, despise not my petitions, but in thy mercy hear and answer me. Amen. Our Lady of Guadalupe, patroness of the Americas, patroness of the unborn, and of Relevant Radio, pray for us. St. Joseph, patron of the Universal Church, pray for us. St. John Paul II, co-patron of Relevant Radio, pray for us. And we always invoke the Holy Spirit, especially during the pledge drive when we pray, come, Holy Spirit, come. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. I want to bring in our Relevant Radio News anchor, Glenn Leverins. Glenn, what's the big story once again that's making headlines this morning?
Well, John, very big story, of course, continues to be the leak of the first draft of an opinion on Roe v. Wade from the U.S. Supreme Court. Very troubling that there was a leak, a lot of controversy about that. It's the decision, if it holds true to the leak, actually, is not going to be a surprise, but both sides are pretty active with protests around the country based on that. The Senate looking to take up a vote, but last time they tried to enshrine the right to abortion into law, only got 48 of the 60 votes that they needed there. So much more to come on that as well. Fighting continues in Ukraine, in western Ukraine, around Lviv, which again had been a relatively safe city. Russians trying to knock out power to that town, and that has been restored after some overnight strikes there. They're also kind of keeping an eye on some of the shipments of supplies and material for more war fighting that's coming from NATO through Poland, entering in the western parts of Ukraine there as well. So that continues to be a Russian target, John.
And of course, in politics, J.D. Vance wins the Republican primary in the state of Ohio. He was endorsed by President Trump. How big of a win is it for Vance?
Well, that's in the Senate primary, looking to replace Rob Portman there in the Senate, but some were trying to see how much influence that Mr. Trump would still have, and so they see that his favored candidate was a winner last night.
And as always, I really appreciate it, your perspective on the news, and we continue, as we always do, with our power scripture from the playbook of life that we bring to you every morning. Today's edition is from John 17:3. Jesus the Lord says, "Father, this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." Our Lord Jesus Christ prayed for his disciples in his priestly prayer for unity. God, our Savior, desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. This is what it's all about, knowing our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, because there's no other name under heaven given by men by which we must be saved than the holy name of Jesus. So we always pray with great confidence the prayer from the Divine Mercy Chaplet, Jesus, I trust in you. Our number, if you want to be part of our conversation this morning, 888-914-9149. As you know by now, May is the month of Mary, and today we are going to start a new series with Father Marcel Taillon on the mysteries of the Rosary. Our Blessed Mother loves this beautiful prayer and how it allows us to meditate on the gospel. In fact, the Rosary has been called the prayer of the gospel. And at Fatima, Our Lady of Fatima stressed to the three children the importance of praying the Rosary every day, something to keep in mind to this very day. Joining us now is our spiritual director, Father Marcel Taillon, with much more on the mysteries of the Rosary. Father Taillon is the pastor of St. Thomas More Catholic Parish in Narragansett, Rhode Island, and a longtime Relevant Radio and Morning Air regular contributor. Good morning, Father Taillon. I can still say Happy Easter. Great to be with you once again. Thanks for joining us during our Give Hope Pledge Drive.
Yeah, Happy Easter and Happy Blessed Mother Month of Mary. So it's a great week to start just reflecting on these mysteries of the Rosary as well, which are mysteries of Christ's life, Mary's life, but also our life. We can certainly get inspired by the great work of the Rosary, and the Rosary being such a tool, a weapon of love, of prayer, of hope. And I love that the Rosary looks like a rope. You saw some of the artists that put the Rosary, you know, obviously lifting people out of sin, purgatory, and other places, really like a lifeline, literally, and that's what it can be and is. So it's great for us to think about that during the pledge drive, too.
Well, Father Taillon, before we dive a little bit deeper on the mysteries of the Rosary, you've been such a fantastic longtime contributor to this program, to Morning Air, and to the network, to Relevant Radio. Why should our listeners continue to support the mission of Relevant Radio, bringing Christ to the world through the media, now more than ever before?
I think we've all learned, even in the pandemic, that we know that really Relevant Radio is a virtual parish family, right? So we're in the body of Christ. None of us is alone. And I think radio ministry has just also been revealed more during the pandemic to be an instrument of the Holy Spirit, an instrument of unity and communion. And Relevant Radio helps put God on our mind, God in our hearts. And at any moment, we can join the virtual parish, and it can feed us. And we know we start to get to know each other and share the walk together. And we know it's an experience of the church universal, really. We don't have to leave our home. Of course, we all belong to different parishes and communities that are primary places of connection to Christ in the church. But Relevant Radio just connects all of us together. And it's the invisible revealed reality of the mystical body of Christ. So I can't thank God enough for Relevant Radio in my own life and the life I know it's touched here on all kinds of programs. And the majority of what Relevant Radio does, we actually don't see. It's sort of invisible. We get little snippets of the tips of the iceberg when people call in or share things, but it's just, I mean, I can't tell you how many people, when I go somewhere, they've heard something on any given program, and I have people that I've never met. They say, oh, remember this or that you or the host or someone said, and it's just amazing. It's always amazing to me when that happens, because it reminds me that this is the work of the Holy Spirit, and that Relevant Radio is indeed, you know, we call it virtual, you know, these kind of crazy things that Metaverse wants to do is make you be in a false world in your head, but Relevant Radio is the real world in this world with Christ, and that's the beauty of this ministry.
Father Taillon, we so much appreciate your spiritual perspective week in and week out. I want to talk about the Holy Rosary that's been called the prayer of the gospel, and you alluded to it as a powerful spiritual weapon. Why should we think of the Rosary as the prayer of the gospel?
Because it is, it's just all around the gospel, right? So it's really, it's sort of it pulls the lens back on certain parts of Mary in Christ's life and our own story. We all have joyful mysteries, luminous mysteries, sorrowful mysteries in our own lives, and we pray them in Christ's life and the Holy Family's life, particularly Mary, so that we know that she's with us, and we can unite our own sorrowful, glorious, joyful, luminous moments of our own lives and those we love into this wonderful instrument that is the rosary. So it's getting us back to heaven, realizing who made us, where we came from, and especially, and you know, you said at the top of the hour right now, you know, abortion, the abortion war is the evil one, and the Lord are in a battle here, and the rosary is a great thing to take up as Roe v. Wade is being hopefully defeated, and all that will do is bring things back to the states. But if we in our states pray the rosary, we'll save lives. We'll actually save human lives and save women and men's lives as well from making the wrong decision about life.
Father Tyone, we want to talk about the joyful mysteries, but first we need to take a short break as we continue our conversation with Father Marcel Tyone. Stay with us. There's much more to come on Morning Air after this message from our Relevant Radio CEO, Father Rocky.
Hi, Father Rocky here, and this pledge drive is just flying by. If you haven't had a chance to make a donation yet, now's your chance. Today only, we have two special thank you gifts at the dollar a day giving level. The first is a book called How They Love Mary, and you're going to learn about how saints really loved Our Lady. St. Damian of Molokai, St. Padre Pio, St. Francis of Assisi, St. Thomas Aquinas, and we can learn from those saints. In addition to the book, we're going to include a very special Divine Mercy image, brown scapular that has a little St. Benedict medal and crucifix attached to it. The book and the Divine Mercy scapular are both yours if you give a dollar a day or more to support the work of Relevant Radio. Give now at relevantradio.com or on the Relevant Radio app, or you can call us at 877-291-0123.
From Maui to Maine, you're listening to Morning Air with John Morales.
Coast to coast on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Nothing is impossible to him who prays. Welcome back to Morning Air here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. I'm John Morales. Thanks for being with us as we continue our conversation with our spiritual director, Father Marcel Tyone. We're talking about the Holy Rosary. Father, why are the mysteries called the joyful mysteries, the first set of mysteries?
Well, again, the joyful mysteries, right? The Annunciation, because they're joyful. Literally, they're joy-filled. There are moments that we can celebrate. Mary said yes. Mary and Elizabeth visiting each other, both with child. Again, in light of our background today in the Supreme Court, what a great mystery to pray. Two pregnant mothers celebrating, joyful, helping one another, joyful. The birth of Christ, again, Jesus became, entered life in the womb as a fetus, as an unborn child. Again, there's probably no better day in the last year to pray the joyful mysteries than today, and so we can dedicate these wonderful mysteries. Presentation in the temple, Mary and Joseph following the Jewish law of the time, and Jesus, who would become the temple, walks into the temple. And then, of course, when he's a young boy, he's found in the temple, really reading the Old Testament in light of his own self. He calls it his father's house, and not Joseph, but his heavenly father. So five really joyful mysteries. And with the war going on and things going on in our lives, I just think it's a wonderful thing to have joyful mysteries. And I just think there's no better way to start. And, you know, again, joyful doesn't mean happy mysteries. So these are not happy mysteries. These aren't fun mysteries. These are joyful mysteries, and joy is the presence of God in faith. And we can all have joy, even at a funeral. We can have be joyful. We can, when terrible things happen, when the world's at war, when people are radical abortion supporters, we can still pray joyful mysteries. And there's no better time, no better way than I think than today to meditate on the joyful mysteries of the life of Jesus and Mary and Joseph, and really imitate them and just have the faith they had and the obedient freedom to follow God's will and to serve God, not man, in the broken ways in which we see in the world.
Can you talk about the first joyful mystery, the Annunciation, and what we can learn from this mystery, our Blessed Mother's fiat, her yes?
Yeah, right. So the moment that she said yes, you know, again, she was full of fear. I think it's important. She was afraid, and then she was overcome with faith and freedom. And she said fiat. She said yes to God, and the Holy Spirit really, if you will, you know, gave her the conception of God, the Father's own Son, in her womb. And at that moment, that's the moment. That's why in medieval art, if you go around, it's amazing. But the Annunciation is even more painted sometimes in a lot of places than the Crucifixion because of the radical importance and relevancy of that moment in world history. That's the moment that God entered into the human world in which we have lived, which he created, which had fallen. So it's the moment of the beginning at the conception, not at the birth, but at the conception. Again, great backdrop today, what we're talking about in our country, our world, but at the moment of Christ's conception. And that's what we celebrate there. So it is a joyful mystery. And again, the angel Gabriel, inviting Mary, not coercing her, not forcing her, but leaving her in total freedom. And she didn't know what was going to happen. We know in the end she's in heaven, body and soul assumed into heaven now, and there for us. There, by the grace of God, we shall go, staying faithful to him. But it's a wonderful mystery and a relevant mystery to the times in which we live in our own lives. So, you know, what is God asking from you today, from me, that might be hard or might be fearful to remain obedient to his will in those things? Maybe a family situation, maybe something at work, at school, in our very own lives, some kind of self-doubt or weakness. And we can really take from the first joyful mystery, the Annunciation, really the presence of Christ. And Christ is with us. So the incarnate Lord is here with us. He's in the church. He's in the world. He's in Ukraine. He's in each justice of the Supreme Court, right? He's in the wild anti-life protesters. The Lord's waiting for them to convert, to turn, and to be soft and receive the joy that Mary knows. So joy never leads to violence. Joy never leads to violence. It leads to self-gift and to self-pouring out. And we need to all ask the Holy Spirit for that gift so we can be like Mary and say yes. And then trust. We have to trust God after we say yes. And then he brings things about. We know from the cross that the cross leads to Easter morning and to new life. So we should never forget that. And I don't know, I just think it's great that the joyful mystery, challenge all our listeners, say pray the joyful mysteries for Relevant Radio, but pray it too, especially for life in our country. And there's no greater mystery than the Annunciation to pray today for the great United States of America, that we might restore safeguards to the unborn, just as Christ was at the moment after the Annunciation.
Father Tyone,
great backdrop.
A quick word on the second joyful mystery, the visitation of our Blessed Mother to her cousin Elizabeth.
Yeah, it was a long way, right? It wasn't short. It was many miles, and Mary would have ridden there probably on a donkey and gone, but went to Elizabeth. Of course, Elizabeth being older and John the Baptist, kind of a different kind of miracle birth, a gift from God. But again, John would be the precursor. But I think these two pregnant mothers helping each other. Imagine they're praying together. They're just being family together and being in religious faith together. And we need to do that, right? How do we practice the visitation? Literally by visiting other people, sometimes, you know, visiting the Eucharist and going somewhere, but also like we do on Relevant Radio, right? We're tonight, you and I are talking about God. This is kind of a visitation conversation. We're both trying to help each other and help our listeners turn to the Lord and know he's with us. So that's a visitation. It's sort of, these mysteries are not something that just happened long ago, but are happening right now in our lives. And thank God we all have spiritual friends. Again, I hope you have spiritual friendships in our own lives, concrete ones, but again, we have virtual ones here on Relevant Radio, and that's what we're kind of meditating on today. But the visitation is another great mystery, and maybe it's time today to make that time. Go to the nursing home, you know, call living at home shut-in, or visit someone if you're in a assisted care living facility. Go down the hall and visit that person for a minute, say hello to the person that doesn't get any company. You know who they are, and that's a visitation for Christ. And so we can imitate these mysteries and live them out in our own life, not just in the life of Mary and Elizabeth. So they're wonderful, wonderful. It's the school of love, the school of faith, and these mysteries give us those examples and also encouragement too.
In the final minute, a thought on the third joyful mystery, the Nativity of our Lord Jesus Christ. There's so much that we can say, and there's so little time.
Yeah, we just remember Christmas is all year, right? St. Francis had the manger up all year. We should meditate on Christmas all year. And the poverty of the Holy Family, but the wealth that they had of, again, trusting God. Imagine the moment, the first cry. Just imagine the first Jesus cry in the world that Mary and Joseph would have heard, and whoever happened to be there, just meditate on that for a moment today. And that's the mystery of the birth of Jesus right there, the cry of Jesus. And, of course, he'd cry out on the cross and then appear to us in glory, as we hear on this Easter season. But the birth of Jesus is something that's changed all of our lives, and certainly in our baptism, we've entered into that life, death, and birth and resurrection of our Lord. So Merry Christmas. We can also say Merry Christmas today. Happy Easter. Merry Christmas, everybody. And thanks to Relevant Radio, we can say both those things.
Thank you so much, Father Tyone. And obviously, we're going to continue with this series on the mysteries of the Rosary next time. Father Marcel Tyone, our spiritual director today. We need to take a short break when Morning Air continues. Personal success coach Dave Duran, the co-founder of Decided Excellence Catholic Media, will be with us to talk about the 7 traits of long-term performers. Stay with us as our Give Hope Pledge Drive continues here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Listener supported.
Yeah.
Bringing Christ to the world through the media.
This is the Relevant Radio Spring Pledge Drive. Give hope.
And welcome back to Morning Air. I'm John Morales, along with Glenn Leverance. Thanks for joining us on this Wednesday morning as we continue with day 3 of our Relevant Radio Give Hope Spring Pledge Drive. Most of us know them when we see them, the ones that we can always count on to deliver and then some. Some people call these folks high performers. We can also call them invaluable. How do you describe the qualities of a long-term performer? We all have team members who work hard, but putting in the hours and achieving outstanding results are two different things. Joining us now for more perspective is our longtime Morning Air contributor, Dave Duran, to talk about 7 traits of long-term performers. Dave Duran is an author, speaker, and personal success coach. He's the co-founder of Decided Excellence Catholic Media, of Best Version Media, and of Lighthouse Catholic Media. Good morning, Dave. Happy Easter. I can keep on saying thanks so much for joining us. It's good to be with you, especially here on this important day 3 of our Give Hope Pledge Drive.
Yeah. Hey, John, I tell you, it is, first of all, happy Easter. It's great to be with you. And I love the pledge drives because, you know, I've said this before, my particular segments have to do with, you know, business and leadership and all sorts of things like that. And one of the things that happens is we know that, you know, God is not our accountant, so he doesn't pay attention to tithing like an accountant would, but he wants our hearts. But he wants our hearts tied to our minds too. He wants us to give to things that matter, that make a difference, to not just whimsically give money, because sometimes people open up their heart, they don't think, and they give to things that actually can even hurt what it means to be Catholic. What's so powerful about Relevant Radio is that you're giving to something where you can actually, every single day, get on the air and see the quality of the work that you're contributing to. And it is as real as you say and everybody else says, that when you give to Relevant Radio, you are giving that that evangelization to people. You are giving Christ to others. And you can test the work. You can see it. You can know it. So it's objectively smart. It's great to give from the heart, and I really encourage people to do so.
Well, we so much appreciate your perspective week in and week out. You've been doing it for so many years, always bringing a Catholic point of view to our conversations or whatever we talk about. And this morning, we're talking about 7 traits that long-term performers have in common. Can you give us kind of a quick overview, just to mention the 7 traits, and then let's go into each one individually?
Sure, and it's a combination of traits and habits. The first one is routine. The second is existential purpose. Then there's delayed gratification, forgiveness, constant attitude about improving, desire for more knowledge, and I'm going to get into some details about that, and a sense of humor. And all of these things are essential. Now, you, by the way, to say that this would be the only 7 traits would be kind of silly or ridiculous, but these are vastly common, almost irreplaceable. Even though, excuse me, there are some additional traits that some people have, these are primarily present in all long-term performing people.
Dave, let's talk about the first trait. Why is routine an important trait?
Well, because routine brings order, and there's no way that you can have actual peace without order. And it's impossible to have prosperity without peace. I mean, you can look at this in individual lives. You can look at this in society lives. You can look at this in familial lives. The routine is the thing that brings peace, that brings order order brings peace, and peace can bring prosperity. So in our own lives, if we don't have routine, in other words, and by the way, it can be kind of an organized chaos. This is an important thing to note. A week actually is that way. You have this Monday meeting, and then you've got this Tuesday such and such, and on Wednesdays you do this. And, you know, we know that there's a different thing assigned to different days, but you can get into that rhythm of 7 days. You can get into the rhythm of a month. We have rhythms. You know, God built the world with routine. It has seasons, right? We have day and night. So we need to fall our schedule into those sorts of things, because now we know, okay, you know what? I have time for my physical health. I have time for reading. I have clearly time for my family. I have time to work. I have time to eat. I have time to relax. And I want to look at all of those from the perspective of my faith. In other words, I don't use God as part of my routine where I just squeeze him in over here or over there. God is a part of my full day. All 24 hours are given to him. Sometimes that's not in a direct way. It's indirect by spending time with my family in a way that honors God. But sometimes it's very direct, where I'm now going to pray the rosary. I'm going to go to Mass. I'm going to do the certain devotions. But routine brings that order. Order brings peace. Peace can bring prosperity.
You know, when I thought about that first trait of routine, it reminded me of this famous motivational speaker, Albert Gray, who wrote, quote, "The common denominator of success, the secret of success of every man who has ever been successful lies in the fact that he has formed the habit of doing the things that failures don't like to do." That reminds me of the importance of that routine of doing the little things that some other people may not want to do.
Oh, and without question, I rep out day in and day out. The key to success is doing what you don't feel like doing. It's the irrefutable key to success. There's never been a person who has ever accomplished anything great who has not agreed with the bottom line, key to success is doing what you don't feel like doing. Why? Because just as you had mentioned here, it fits into routine. But it fits into pretty much every single thing we're about to talk about. Even in this list or seven traits, that the power behind it is doing what you don't feel like doing. Of course, that happens to be a fortitude. Fortitude is a natural virtue, and it is it takes building a little bit of muscle to get there.
Dave, what about having an existential purpose? How is that a key for success?
So what do people do? They want happiness. That's really why we're doing all of the things that we do. We want happiness. Now, people make bad decisions to be happy, and they lead them to misery. But we want happiness, so we do physical things. Okay, you eat, you drink, you smoke. People do things to get an immediate happiness. And within a particular order, not all things physical, but within particular order, ordered things can make you happy, but just for the moment, while the consumption takes place. Then what we do is we find that you can't eat or drink enough to be happy, so we move into accomplishment. We want to accomplish and build things, and that's a good thing too. But what happens is you can't, you know, win enough, earn enough, be enough, get enough likes to actually have long-term gratification. It's longer than it is when it comes to, you know, physical. But then there's a third, and that's kind of philanthropic, where people give, and it's a good thing to give. I mean, clearly this is a pledge drive. If you give, you're going to feel better for a longer period of time if you give than you would by eating or drinking something, than you would by accomplishing something. But even at that point, you say, well, there's something that's still missing. What is it? Well, it's that existential purpose. It's to know that we were made to ultimately be in heaven with God. That's why we were made, to be with him forever. And if we don't look at all of our behaviors and actions from that perspective, we're not going to think as long-term as possible. So an existential purpose is driven by the idea that we have to know that our work is not just our work. It's being a good steward of what God gave us. And all the things that we have are really ultimately tied back to the very fact that he is present with us right now. And he's paying attention to what we're doing because he loves us. Not because he wants to judge us, but because we're making ourselves required to be judged. But he's constantly giving us an out for that and saying, no, look at the bigger purpose. Look at why you're doing this. Embrace your suffering. Embrace the hard work. And that gives us that existential purpose and long-term drive.
Can you talk about the difference between instant and delayed gratification?
Yeah, so basically that kind of is what leads up to this. So the reason I have this separately on the list, we talk about routine and we talk about existential purpose, even though in existential purpose, you heard me kind of define the idea of delayed gratification, but I do that because I want to put a fine point on it. That's why it's its extra point. And that is to say that if you're going to be a long-term performer, you just can't constantly be looking at the short-term wants, the short-term gets. Those are the things that, generally speaking, keep people literally in the hamster wheel. There's a lot of people in life who are just not willing to take the longer-term sacrifice to do something that is going to create greater health, greater finances, greater holiness, and greater relationships and everything else that we look at in life, greater knowledge and understanding, because there's always a suffering that comes first. So in order to actually have delayed gratification as a habit or trait, you need to be willing to say, you know what, I'm going to accept short-term suffering for the long-term gain of something. And delayed gratification, people embrace the suffering. People who can't handle suffering or unwilling to handle suffering, they stay in a hamster wheel.
We've got three down, four more to go as we continue our conversation with our success coach, Dave Duran. If you want to be part of our discussion, 888-914-9149. We're chatting with Dave Duran, the co-founder of Decided Excellence Catholic Media. Stay with us. We'll be back with more after this miracle moment.
Hope restored, hearts healed, lives changed. Here's another Relevant Radio miracle moment.
I just wanted to share my resolution that started last year. It actually started with a sign from God. It was a Relevant Radio bumper sticker. I had been away from the church for quite a while and was driving down the road, and I was thinking, you know, it'd be nice to maybe get back to my roots. And I saw a Relevant Radio bumper sticker, and I was so excited, so I turned it on and started listening and was really filled with a lot of good food for my soul, and I have never turned back since. It has been a wonderful journey. It's just beginning.
This miracle moment was brought to you by you.
We're only able to broadcast because of your generous support. Donate safely and quickly online at relevantradio.com or by using the Relevant Radio app.
Get connected to the conversation. Call us now, 888-914-9149.
You're listening to Morning Air with John Morales on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
It's a good morning. And welcome back to Morning Air. I'm John Morales. Thanks for being with us this morning as we continue our conversation with our personal success coach, Dave Duran. We're talking about seven traits of long-term performers. Dave, let's pick it up with the fourth trait. Talk about forgiveness and why forgiveness is a trait that long-term performers have.
Well, you know, it's interesting. And, you know, John, I know you know this as a professional. It's impossible for anyone who has worked for a period of years to get to a place where they have not had people wrong them. Now, by the way, listen, we could spend more time talking about the things that we might have done to wrong others or maybe hurt others. And oftentimes, it's not even something that is like a moral wrong. I mean, it might not require, you know, some sort of moral forgiveness, but, you know, sometimes you have a worker in your organization, you have to let them go. And it's oftentimes their fault, but they're angry, right? Well, there are things that make people unhappy. There are actual ethical and moral things that are real and strong that require an actual formal forgiveness like that. But then there are irritations. There are things that build and more grand and large things. We have to forgive, though. No doubt about it. We can't run around managing other people's emotions, but we have to manage ours. And if we don't forgive, we harbor and we hold on to things. And you know what it becomes? It's a little bit like walking through life going through life as a track star, and what you're trying to do is break the world record in running. But every single time somebody wrongs you, you put a penny in your pocket. Every single time somebody offends you, you put a quarter in your pocket. And the bigger the offense, the more it's a silver dollar. Until throughout life, you find that you have 15, 20 pounds worth of coins in your pockets, and you can't run the race at the same level you did. And it happens so gradually, you don't know why you've slowed down. We just have to forgive and move on. And frankly speaking, the Bible's pretty serious about this. Unless you forgive others, you will not be forgiven. So this is not just simply a self-help little point. This is substantial.
Well, Dave, we only have about a minute left. Just your final thought on the three final traits of a long-term performer.
John, if you don't mind, my final thought on the three traits is that while constant attitude and improving are relevant, we could talk about it, and a desire for more knowledge is super important, and a sense of humor is important. Just to take this opportunity to say that, you know, having the opportunity to just kind of move about the country and do things, as so many different people on Relevant Radio do, yourself included, but, you know, we bump into people all the time. And this isn't something that's talked about a lot, but, you know, I'll be in an airport, I'll be at a dinner in a place where a person grabs me and says, you know what, I listen to Relevant Radio and it changed my life. And there's story after story after story after story. I just really encourage people to get behind that. So you can participate that. And you know what? Not until you probably are in heaven will you actually be able to tap that person on the shoulder. They'll tap you and tell you that you made a difference with that contribution.
Well, Dave, you are the coach. We so much appreciate your contributions every week. Thanks again.
You bet.
Dave Duran, the co-founder of Decided Excellence Catholic Media. And now it's time for another episode of Glenn Story Corner.
Who knows what you'll start with a simple gift to Relevant Radio. Our story today called Chain of Love by Steve Goodyear. How do you account for your remarkable accomplishment in life? That question by Queen Victoria of England asking Helen Keller. How do you explain the fact that even though you were both blind and deaf, you were able to accomplish so much? Ms. Keller's answer is a tribute to her dedicated teacher. If it had not been for Anne Sullivan, the name of Helen Keller would have remained unknown. Speaker Zig Ziglar tells about Little Annie Sullivan, as she was called when she was young. Little Annie was no stranger to hardship. She was almost sightless herself due to a childhood fever, and she was at one time diagnosed as insane by her caregivers. She was locked in the basement of a mental institution outside of Boston. On occasion, Little Annie would violently attack anyone who came near. Most of the time, she generally ignored everyone in her presence. An elderly nurse believed there was hope, however, and she made it her mission to show love to the child. Every day she visited little Annie. For the most part, the child did not acknowledge the nurse's presence, but she still continued to visit. The kindly woman left cookies for her and spoke words of love and encouragement. She believed little Annie could recover if only she were shown love. Eventually, doctors noticed a change in the girl. Where they once witnessed anger and hostility, they now noted an emerging gentleness and love. They moved her upstairs where she continued to improve. Then the day finally came when the seemingly hopeless child was released. Anne Sullivan grew into a young woman with a desire to help others, as she herself was helped by the loving nurse. It was she who saw the great potential in Helen Keller. She loved her, disciplined her, played with her, pushed her, and worked with her until the flickering candle that was her life became a beacon of light to the world. Anne Sullivan worked wonders in Helen's life, but it was a loving nurse who first believed in little Annie and lovingly transformed an uncommunicative child into a compassionate teacher. If it had not been for Anne Sullivan, the name of Helen Keller would have remained unknown. But if it had not been for a kind and dedicated nurse, the name of Anne Sullivan would have remained unknown. And so it goes. Just how far back does the chain of redemption extend, and how far forward will it lead? Those you've sought to reach, whether they be in your family or elsewhere, are part of a chain of love that can extend through the generations. Your influence on their lives, whether or not you see results, is immeasurable. Your legacy of dedicated kindness and caring can transform lost and hopeless lives for years to come. You can never overestimate the power of your love. It's a fire that once lit may burn forever. Romans 12:10 says, "Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourselves."
Thanks so much, Glenn, as you do day in and day out, another powerful story corner. I want to remind our listeners to honor our Blessed Mother Mary here in the month of May. Pray the family rosary across America with Father Rocky. With all your prayers and petitions, 7 p.m. Central tonight and every night of the week here on Relevant Radio. Stay with us. There's much more of the Relevant Radio Give Hope Spring Pledge Drive here in day three in just a moment. I also want to remind you that the Patrick Madrid Show will be coming up at the top of the hour. So stay with us. There's much more to come.